Clock. A warm welcome to Cape Talk. South Africa has a long history of mining. You know that. And of course, the details. At one stage, we had the richest gold deposits and the richest platinum deposits. And it's just abundance of raw materials in this country and the richest in the world. Eh? Now, lead specifically is the one that brought us into conversation today. Lead is a natural element and common byproduct from mining that can be very, very dangerous. When lead dust is released in the environment during mining and smelting of lead, it can cause lead exposure to those living close by or working there without, if they're not wearing protective gear, especially. A class action currently underway. Kabwe Mine was the biggest lead producer in the whole wide world in Zambia. Class action presently underway in the South Gauteng High Court. Women and children impacted by lead poisoning are seeking relief. And that's the context for this conversation with Cormac Cullinan, environmental lawyer at Cullinan and Associates. Welcome. It's good to have you, Cormac.
Thanks, Clarence. Thank you for inviting me.
I was asking the question a little earlier. It just like feels like a season of class actions. What kind of successes have been registered on that front, just in terms of South African law?
Well, South Africa has been quite prominent in Africa. We've had cases, started off big cases to do with asbestos and Cape asbestos, and then more recently the silicosis. But there've also been ones to do with the food listeriosis, food contamination, and there was one about bread prices. So there have been a few, and during the course of these cases, the specific procedural aspects necessary to run class actions have been developed mainly through a series of judgments. So we now are a country in which you can bring such actions, and there's some clarity as to how to go about them.
What we've gathered from our earlier conversation is that the merits must be understood before a class action can be embarked on. So what would the court be listening to in terms of this class action that we've been discussing this morning in order to enable that class action in itself?
Yes, so obviously a class action is a situation where you have many people in a similar position. And so normally, rather than have thousands of individual cases, they will pick one or two cases which really represent the key issues and ask the court to determine whether or not there is liability in those cases. And if there is, then essentially the principle can be extended to all the other cases. So what's really important at the beginning is to say, are the facts sufficiently strong to hold anybody accountable for this harm in the case of a few people who represent everybody else? And if that is found, obviously if they're not, then that ends it. But in a situation where that can be established, that principle is then applied to everybody and a settlement is made for the entire class.
Do you think there is a basis for a class action? Have you read about or are you familiar with the merits of this case unfolding?
I'm afraid I haven't read the papers of this case. I can't express a view exactly on how likely they are to succeed. But, I mean, one of the things that is obviously really important with class actions is that, our normal law evolved to deal with a situation where person A, harms person B, hits him with a stick or something like that, and the causation is quite direct. Here you have a situation, typically in environmental matters, where it may be very difficult to prove that a particular person got sick from a particular lead particle from this mine. But when you look at it collectively, it's very clear when you have, very unusually high incidences of diseases or illness related to lead, one can safely conclude that although causation may be difficult on an individual level, it can be quite clear collectively. So this approach is very important in environmental issues where typically you have a situation where the environment has been poisoned or polluted in some way and people are suffering the consequences of that.
Yeah, let's just look at lead poisoning specifically, but maybe more generally. What are the dangers of mining lead?
I'm not an expert on it, but I know that lead accumulates in the body and it can affect one's intelligence. And cause really quite severe disorders and even death. There have been cases over the years when people have been exposed to lead-based paints, for example, or even pottery glazes which had lead in them, etc. So it's a very insidious thing because you don't know it's happening, and it can affect children particularly badly. Even lead piping, there's some people who say that lead piping back in the days of the Romans was one of the reasons for the decline of the Roman Empire. I'm not sure, whether that's true, but certainly it's the trouble is that you don't know it's happening to you. It's not like there's, stinking clouds of sulfurous smoke. It's being absorbed into your body and accumulating all the time, and so it is very, very harmful to the human body.
Yeah, and breathing in dust, and we're not just talking lead, but coal dust, silica dust, and other finely powdered materials can damage the lungs and the airways as well. The risk to health, of course, varies depending on the size and the nature of the dust particles. We would hope that since technology is improving our means to mine raw materials, that technology is also enabling workers to be safer in the mines. And I know we remove Joburg is the epicenter of our mining activity, but trust me, here and specifically in the Northern Cape, a lot of mining activity is happening and will be happening in the next couple of years. Are we seeing safer mining practices being implemented? Cormac Cullinan, sorry, I want to introduce you again, environmental lawyer and specialist at Cullinan and Associates. Go ahead.
Yes, I think that mines are always trying to improve their mine safety, particularly of their workers. But one of the biggest problems we face worldwide is the legacy of mining. Is that when you stop mining, typically they close down the mining company, pack up their tents, and leave. And there's often a devastated environment which can have impacts for hundreds and hundreds of years afterwards. The acid mine drainage in Gauteng is an example, but they're also their slag heaps with asbestos which blows all over the place. Yeah. They're all of those kind of things. And there's a real problem holding people accountable for cleaning up the mess of what happened years ago. And I suspect this Cobweb case is an example of that. Much of the harm is caused of many, many years after the mining has ceased, and it's very difficult to hold somebody accountable because some of those companies have closed or they've distributed the assets, etc. So you have this situation where really one needs some kind of funding for litigation to force the cleanup for these things. And it means also, of course, that in the present time, the government must be very, very strict on enforcing the requirements for rehabilitation funds, etc. In other words, when a mine is operative, you make them put a lot of money aside to clean up and rehabilitate any problems after they've closed it.
For sure. I wanted to just ask you about any other cases related to mining in South Africa that you are aware of, that we should be aware of?
I'm not involved in any personally myself, but there is a possibility of class actions around air pollution and things like that being considered. I don't have inside knowledge of it, but the reality of it is that I think that we are going to see more of this simply because the chickens are coming home to roost, as it were. In other words, as time.
But Cormac, we've got environmental impact assessments. Are they being flouted? The rules that come with being able to mine.
The trouble is, I suppose, is that mining is probably inherently environmentally destructive to some extent, and the other problem, of course, is that the decision making in mining, like with most companies, is primarily directed at profits making, and so you have. There's always going to be a tension, an incentive to take risks, to cut corners on environmental protection, particularly if it's only in the long term. So one really needs officials to be very tough on that. And one of the difficulties we've got in this country is that although the mining the environmental legislation that does apply to mining, the inspectors come from the Department of Minerals and Energy, and so we do have the fox looking after the hen house, that is a real problem.
We got you loud and clear. We're going to have to rest it there, unfortunately. Cormac Cullinan, environmental lawyer and a specialist at Cullinan and Associates, bringing some insights into lead exposure and just the kind of dangers that come with mining and the class actions that we are seeing at present at the moment.